On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Benthic as we talk about Phobab, Nick's fantasy picks, and then the collaboration that Alarmus brewed with Goose Island. All that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We survived election. And, you know, we're rolling into a new lockdown here. So, but we.
A lot of folks are riding with Biden, huh?
Mm-hmm.
79-year-old Joe Biden.
Yep. You got your Kanye vote in?
I wrote in, you know, okay, so I looked at Kanye on YouTube. I just looked for content, right? And I didn't find any. So then I wrote in Bernie instead.
Okay.
I wanted to write in easy, but, you know.
You could have wrote him in. You could write in anybody. You could have wrote you in.
I mean, you know.
It's the same. Chance of you winning versus Bernie winning.
I just couldn't ride with Biden. Oh, man, we're going in, Brad. 70 yep. million votes for Biden. And not too many less than that for Trump.
It might be 80 here soon. Fuck. It's all said and done. But this is a beer show, not
indeed it is
politics. We just survived to drink another week, another day. but we got something special here because you... got the enchilada, the whole enchilada, not half the enchilada, the whole enchilada.
We're going deep into the benthos, Brad. Half acre benthic.
Mm-hmm. So right now we have poured out the 2019 yeah. benthic, right? In the 2019 glasses as well. I kind of like the 2019 over the 2020 glasses. But
yeah, and then, you know, if I remember correctly, this the 2019 logo. Is the original logo.
Okay.
Right.
And then they just decided to just go font.
Yeah.
Didn't try as hard.
It kind of looks like it's the underwater. Like if you were on the water, there's a reflection of the water. I think it
right.
feels like.
Right. Well, all the variants have like a different jellyfish kind of design on it, right?
Yeah. Completely revamped. There's a nice little pamphlet that came with it. I want to say, well, OG Benthic is coffee and coconut.
Okay.
Right. They said that they like Four Roses single barrels to age in and Willet barrels, which I guess I never knew.
Willet. Okay.
So they just like the flavors, man.
Okay.
Yeah. So the ones we're drinking today are actually the double from last year, which is bourbon and coconut and rum barrels with a double toasted coconut, double coffee. That was last year. And this year, Brad, it's three times.
Triple?
It's triple the toasted coconut and double the coffee.
That's right up your alley.
I mean, I'm in. You know, the only time I wasn't in was year two of Prop, or year one, because they fixed it in year two. Year one, the actual coconut kind of separated in the glass, so it was oily. Like,
okay.
If you drank half of it, you would see all this coconut oil kind of float to the top.
Yeah.
So then they started using coconut water.
Okay, that makes sense. Nice. So, yeah, 2019, it's, I don't know, chocolatey sweetness dessert right here.
Yeah, I think coconut kind of shows up at the very tail end for me, just a tad. But everything's kind of settled in, and all these other things are naming. The thing that comes forward is semi-sweet chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe like a burnt kind of thing. That might be the coffee kind of coming through at the end.
Yeah, like
Then so what? We're doing these side by side. We gotta go double, triple.
Yeah, and then we'll... a little bit of that char.
Whoa, that was a weird.
So apparently, Half Acre's got like a whole to go menu thing. Like it's almost like a little cafe to go.
Okay.
So they're doing the release at Balmoral. But Moe's got fresh paint too. So like the not the main entrance where the patio is, but the other entrance.
Okay, yeah, there's someone painted. Yeah, they did like a little mural on the wall.
Looks good too.
Nice.
So,
3 times like a toasted coconut.
I'm still in shorts, and it was still 70 degrees, but this combination of like leaves everywhere, turning brown, falling, picking up Barrel-Aged Beer number 3, right? Because we got Rev, we got Goose.
Well, yeah, and we haven't really, the Goose Beer's prop is the only one that's really come out for everyone.
And then with FOBAP this weekend, I mean, I guess it's FOBAP season, but it doesn't feel like it.
No, yeah, definitely doesn't feel like wintertime stout drinking, sitting by the fire, but there's a lot of
hella coconut in this.
Yeah, it says a 3 ounce of hand toasted coconut per pint.
Per pint?
That's what it says.
So that, like,
there's 3 ounces of.
I mean, this can.
That's 3 ounces of coconut. 3 times. Yeah.
Wow. I'm in, man. That's Mounds Bar right there.
Yeah.
That's all I'm enjoying.
Interesting. Go back to the other one.
Goddamn.
The last year almost feels weak sauce now. That's like 2 times. That's nothing. Like I go 4.
The way it shows up after a year, yeah, you don't get all the pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is definitely coconut in this one.
All right. Yeah, these are going to be sippers. We should have grabbed our High Lifes to have the backbone here.
Yeah, man. You still got those?
I think there's still some in there. I might have to, after this, go to that. All right. So anything else about Benthic? How'd the process go, picking them all up?
In and out. Half Acre, they're on top of their game. I'd say maybe 5 minutes max. They come in little 2-packs, which is cool, which is the same thing it did last year. And like you noted, the branding's totally different this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love the story. So there's like this trifold, and they really get into, you know, what these beers mean to them.
Yeah.
And then actually, I want to say this 2020, this cherry brandy benthic is new this year.
Okay.
I want to say, and so is Old Ben.
Have you, since picking it up, have you tried them all?
No. Just dove into OG from last year versus OG from this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Notice much difference?
It's not like this at all. Where OG from last year is very similar to OG from this year. There's just a little more fun bourbon character, and I would say a little more coffee.
Okay.
But the OG from last year really holds its own. I was surprised by that because it was like I really had to search for differences. You know, I was like, man, these are damn near the same, which is impressive for last
year. Yeah. Do we know if even any of these are going to be a FOBAB offering from Half Acre? We don't know the lineup of.
And that's the problem with this goddamn fantasy FOBAB. It's like.
All right, yeah, we're diving into FOBAB.
No one fucking knows. Like, you know, it's a crapshoot.
Right, so FOBAB is happening this weekend, or.
FOBAB reimagined.
This virtual FOBAB, which.
FOBAB at home.
I didn't get a 6-pack. You didn't, right?
Same.
So no. I don't know how that's working out, how's it going.
Well, they didn't have very many of them. Their website says they're sold out.
Okay, that's good that they sold out.
If you did go get it, you have to go to Hailstorm and pick them up.
Right.
Apparently, that's where they're doing the judging.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that should be where you have to go get it, though. You know?
Should deliver it to you. But so it would be happening, or it is happening this weekend. And it would have. It's kind of nuts to think this would have been FOBAB weekend.
Yeah. I don't know what year FOBAB this year is. We're approaching 20, though. We're approaching 20 FOBABs.
Yeah. You just start. I have to start over after this year.
Yeah.
Back to zero.
Shout out to ABV Chicago. They did their annual fantasy FOBAB draft this last week. Well, one of them is teachers, so they really is a proper Excel sheet, right? It's nice and sortable. by power rankings, arbitrary power rankings from them, metal history, and then you can sort by year, style, metal, brewery.
That's crazy.
It's very cool.
When people send me Excel sheets, I get like, I don't live in that world, and I'm like, that's too much. Nope.
I tried to put one together recently for just a data sort, and I'm just like, bruh, Excel, I don't know what it is. Excel is not straightforward. But that was cool. So one thing I noticed on the master list is that there's not a lot of out-of-town breweries compared to years in the past, right?
Oh.
And the reason that was important is because if you look at, you know, the winners, when you're picking your team, you take the last 3 years as a sample size. Shit, out of the 39 or so awards, two-thirds of those awards are from out-of-town breweries, right?
Mm-hmm. So there had to have been a lot of breweries who either, yeah, like I said, didn't enter or entered less beer because it's a promotion thing for a lot of people, although you can win an award. If someone's not going to try your beer and you don't get a picture shared or someone like talks about it, there's not a lot of reason to have your beer there.
Yeah, and I think at one point, you were donating the beer, but now I think you donate the beer and you pay to get in, I think.
Yeah, there's an entry fee, so.
So, what else about Flo Bath?
So, what was that? Do you remember any of the power ranking, or what were your picks then?
Yeah, I think Rev is number one overall. I think, well, I got the list right here. Rev was number one overall. I think the top five were, you know, the only three breweries to take medals the last 3 years. Well, there's like six of them. But Rev, Off Color, and Pollyanna are three of the six.
Oh, yeah. Pollyanna's, we were drinking that Light Thinking last time. It's that, it's the sneaky brewery that I don't know why they win, but the beers are good. It's weird. It's not on like my radar.
I'm surprised. Some breweries just show up well at this event, right? Workforce, for example. So I was in the number eight slot, so I picked Workforce. But I was going to tell you the ABV Chicago arbitrary power rankings for 2020.
Yeah.
I'll just give you the top five. Number five, Off Color. Number four, Lost Abbey. Number three, Pollyanna. Number two, Bottle Logic. And number one, Rev. Bottle Logic makes sense. If they didn't win the whole thing, they were runner-up like 2 years in a row, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
So what'd you pick up? What'd you get?
Who did I get? So first round, I went Workforce at the eighth slot. Now, each round is 10 picks.
Oh, sure.
And then it snakes through. So if I'm number eight, then I come back, I'm number three the next round.
Okay.
So I went Workforce, Haymarket, Misbehaving Meats.
Betting on that Claire's Thirsty, aren't you?
Man. Or I saw the box. They're releasing two box. I'm like, so here's the thing. If the guy who created Phobab is on the board and I don't get him, like.
And he's, you know.
I feel.
Not to say there's any kind of fix, but
I don't think
people love Pete and they love his beer, yeah. So.
And, you know, and they show up in this party, so, you know, I feel like it's a bad luck omen if I don't get fucking Haymarket in there on the board. Misbehaving Meads was my mead pick. After that, I went Open Outcry, Rheingeist, which is my out-of-town brewery, and I closed out with On Tour.
Okay. On Tour has barrel-aged beers?
Apparently. They're on the list. I looked, their IG says they have a Scotch Ale in Buffalo Trace barrels.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you something, man. Looking back at this list, number eight, I picked Workforce. Sun King was on the board, and Sun King went ninth.
Mm.
And I'm kind of kicking myself for not getting Sun King because they cleaned up at JBF this year. Now, those aren't transferable, so I was whining to Josh Riley about this at like 8 in the morning. And he was like, well, shit, he picked the year that Beguile took a gold at JBF. He picked Beguile last year based on that, and they didn't win it.
Right, okay.
It's not the same judges, right? And then I think, you know, I think you have to be like a certified beer judge for JBF. With Phobab, you could probably be a brewer, not be a judge, right? I think it might be different. Not saying better or worse, but just a different group of judges is what I'm saying.
That's yeah, and they're going to be local judges too, so not they have a different palate, or they have a different, like, they probably know some of these beers more so than being a judge at GABF where it's beers around the country. You're going to know what Goose Island, Bourbon County tastes like, or Claire's Thirsty.
So I left Sun King on the board, and then I go check GABF, and Sun King, Afternoon Delight tastes gold in wooden barrel-aged beer at GABF, and then fucking Cherry Busey takes a bronze at JBF, and I'm like, fuck. But, hey, it's already done.
So. It's done. When do the... Are they doing a live stream of the awards again?
3 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. So that should be good. But that's fun, man. Choose the ABV, because this is a lot of fun, this tournament.
And it's the second year, and you guys just kind of, what, you bet a six-pack?
Yeah, I think the whoever wins gets, they collects all the six-packs from the losers.
Okay.
Yeah. It was funny, because last year, the guy who won, I think he owns Beer on the Wall in, like, Park Ridge or something.
Okay.
So it's like, well, of course he won. He owns a fucking beer store. But then, like, what are we doing getting him beer?
Right. So to sell that back.
But it's still a good time, man. And then, yeah, I didn't know about the trends, you know? The trends of, like, the only time the list was majority of local Illinois brewers was 2016. So 17, 18, and 19, majority of the awards are won by the towners.
Okay.
And then the majority of the awards are, you know, first-time winners. There's very few repeats. So we picked up that this year.
Interesting. Huh? Yeah. I don't know. It's all, I feel like it's all different this time.
Come on, open outcry.
What's Will Guy?
I don't know. But, you know, I remember I was flipping through some picks, and I remember you took a pic of him with his, that mash pedal they gave him as he went away. And on the mash pedal is engraved all his wins, right? So everything from the pubs, you know, came from Will.
Right.
So I'm like, bring it.
He's got.
I saw Will and Dev last year, sitting down front watching everyone win. So Will's gonna bring it.
He's got the skills to bring it, but you know, I don't know. I don't know what the beers are at Open Outcry. I've only been there once.
And this is a shot in the dark. No one fucking knows who's gonna show up.
Mm-hmm.
Revan Off Color for sure. Outside of that, no one fucking knows.
Yeah. Off Color always somehow grabs some.
Yeah.
For some sort of kitty beer. Or kitten beer, not like kid. Nice. All right. And I'm excited to see what, once people start getting their little six packs, what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. This whole thing, I mean, it's cool that they sold out. That's how they chose to roll these beers out. Mixed, like we talked about last week, I think you had to do a mixed six pack, because if not, people would cherry pick. So you had to do it this way. I'm like you, man. Let me get a delivery option or something.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. The only thing I did this past week was I did pick up beer at Salamoth. That was, Saturday? That place was, they had the music blasting. There wasn't a lot of people, like, hanging out on their parking lot yet,
Salamoth, Logan Square?
No. Is that even open?
I don't know.
No, Salamoth, Naperville.
Okay.
The parking lots, you know, their patio or their beer garden now. They had the music blasted and wind was blowing. It was a great day to be outside drinking on Saturday. So, but I picked up some more Lou, some double IPA, and I picked up the can that they did for the Tamale Guy, collaboration.
Did a can for Tamale Guy.
Yeah, they did a beer, a hazy paleta collaboration.
That sounds cool. Tamale Guy, well, shit, I guess there's just one.
Well, there is two, right? But there's really just one.
Because the big one, the most popular one, started a restaurant.
Right, well, then he got Corona.
Then he got Rona.
And then, now he's back.
And now he's got beer.
Yeah.
He's back and better than ever.
So 2020 has been a roller coaster for Tamale Guy.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think Tamale Guy, and you know the little drummer kids that, you know, beat on buckets?
Yeah.
You see the Bucket Boys, and you don't think, oh, it's the Bucket Boys. And every time you see them, it's the same one. Yeah. That's when I see Tamales in a cooler, I'm like, they're all different. But apparently that's wrong. There is a Tamale Guy.
There is a Tamale Guy, yeah.
Bloody.
Yeah. So, I think we'll probably do a video with that beer. So check out the YouTube channel for that. That was the only thing.
I like Salamoth.
Yeah. Speaking of collaborations, I saw that Alarmist is doing a collaboration with Goose Island called Juice Island.
That's funny. Chicago's older brewery, man, hooking up with Alarmist. They brewed it at Fulton, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's an IPA brewed with some sort of wine juice. Viognier? I suck at wine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's wine juice, Meridian, Citra, and Mosaic hops, and Southern Passion hops.
So it's a wine juice hazy.
Juice Island, man.
Juice Island.
You know, it's funny. They took a couple picks, and then all the Alarmist guys are like, they're doing their, their shotgun. And all the Goose guys are doing it except for the big fella.
Oh, okay.
Mike. What's Mike's last name? Kind of talks like this.
Yeah.
No turbid beers at Goose Island. I like Mike. We interviewed him 1 year for the barrel aged stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone's doing shotguns in his beer except for Mike. Mike's not hat.
Yeah. If they brewed it at Fulton, that means it will probably be released at Goose Island. Otherwise, Alarmist probably has to buy it back from them based on those kind of rules, right?
Yeah.
I think where it's brewed, it has to be, they are responsible for selling it and moving it. And if you want to get it from them, you buy it from them.
I think you're right.
But it could, I guess, who knows? Who knows right now? I don't know what all the rules are in these unprecedented times.
I bet if they run it back and brew it again, then I think it'll probably be brewed at Alarmist.
Yeah, so they could brew the same thing over at Alarmist, and then, they should be about the same. So.
Yeah.
Excited to try that one. Yeah, different take on Le Juice.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. They're usually pretty good about posting the announcements of when their beers are coming out. So
yeah, so good for them, man.
Yeah,
Goose doesn't collab with a lot of folks.
No, that was a surprise. I was like, man, that's big for the Gulster.
Phase Three is the only other crew I can think of, and then Virtue. Short list.
Yeah, and then musicians or other media entities.
Yeah, everybody outside of Pitchfork artists, they don't actually do actual collabs, right?
Right.
Yeah. Dark Lord Day was this weekend.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Did you get your Dark Lord?
No, I didn't get my Dark Lord last year either.
$170 American dollars would have got you 4 OGs and then a shot at one of the variants.
Okay, so you got it?
No. Oh. I was hoping you did, because when the bottles, when the bottles come out, then you're like, well, damn, I kind of want to know what it tastes like. I kind of would be down for trading, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your buddy Jose from the office, you can't.
Who's going to, spread your cheeks and, force you to give up something cool.
Yeah, but you don't see him.
I don't see him. I wonder if he would trade me this year. I don't want to know what OG tastes like. I think there's still 3 bottles of OG. I just wanted to get the official bottle count of variants, right? Because they listed on the bottles.
Okay.
So there were 14,600 total variants, right?
Wait, just total bottle, not different variants.
Sorry. 14,000 bottles of variants.
Okay, all right. This one has 2 drops of coconut. This one has 3 drops.
There were 11 variants total.
Okay.
Which is probably still too many, right? Yeah. Start of the show was low star for me last year. That was the coconut one and their barrels. These names require too much work, but the top 3 were Hella Boozy, that's the barrel aged one, at 2,000. Chemtrail also at 2,000. And then after that, there's the Roy Crochet. That's the one we drank last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Neapolitan one. Hmm. And Marshmallow Hanji.
Okay.
Those are the top bottle counts per variant.
So what took them so long? This event is April, May, and now we're here. This event is technically, we're almost closer to when the event should happen than when it did happen, and the bottles just came out.
I mean, the Dark Lord does.
You can't trust the Dark Lord?
I'm just thankful the Dark Lord granted favor upon you, Bradford, okay? Be thankful.
Like, they already have to be thinking of next time, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to say, man. And then some of these... it reminds me of Kentucky Fog, where we kind of needed an explanation, and when we got an explanation, it made a little bit more sense. It doesn't mean we necessarily liked it a lot more, but it definitely made...
You appreciated it.
Yeah, there was an appreciation at least understanding the idea, right?
Yeah.
You get some of these. All right, Dark Lord is apparently it's a coffee stout, right? It's officially a coffee stout with dessert sugar, Mexican dessert sugar. That's what it says.
Yeah.
But then they take these wine barrels, these dessert wine barrels, and they put the Dark Lord in it. And we say this all the time. I'm just like, bro, I don't understand what this is supposed to be.
Right? Yeah.
That's it. That's my Dark Lord rant.
All right. Yeah. You gotta have the story to back it up. Like, it helps a lot. That's Goose Island and Rev has learned that the story sells, not just the killer party.
Yeah, sometimes it's magic, though. Chemtrail, magic. Marshmallow Hanji, the vanilla one, fantastic. I think they hit the mark on some of these.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's more challenging to try them all, too. So.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Prop Day was this past weekend.
Yeah.
I saw a few photos. Looked like it ran smoothly.
Yeah, apparently the Prop Day only stout is a barrel-aged stout with coconut. And it's just got a big question mark on it, like the Riddler suit.
So we didn't try. We didn't get that one.
No.
Bullshit.
Toasted coconut barrel-aged stout, man.
Nice. Okay.
Coconut, man.
Yeah, because they have. We've said this before. Goose has a lot of different variants, things that they try. It's often on tap for employees or in the tap room, and so you know they got to put those out there.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Revolution, man. They did a Zoom call for the latest three in the Deepwood series.
Yeah.
So what was it? Maple, Death Star, and Cafe Death.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. They're literally sitting like in the other room.
Couple takeaways, man. They said Maple Death actually has less sugar than Cafe and Death Star.
Oh, crazy.
Jim Seaback used to work at Floyd's. He said when he was there, they liked Woodford Reserve barrels. I've never heard that before. Seaback's all-time favorite variant is Boss Rye Whey. And Marty, the Secretary of Lumber, his favorite is VSOJ because it really taught them about this calculation of, you know, sugar per barrel.
Okay.
Time in a barrel. Yeah. They said there was a ton of cool shit they talked about. One thing that stuck with me was that at the Goose thing, remember the Goose thing, they were saying how 2 years is about as long as they want to go in a package product.
Yeah.
Rev said they want to go 3-4 years.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
And then later on he said, you know, rye wines and barley wines actually develop better over time because they don't have the dark malts, and the dark malts have these antioxidants, so they don't have the ability to develop longer than barley wines and rye wines.
Okay.
It's not something I ever thought about.
But we don't know. We really don't know how these are going to all hold up in these cans for, like, they are. They do have, like, a coating on there, so you're not supposed to get that aluminum thing. What happens? 5 years of something kind of eating away at that coating.
Right. And there was a reiteration. I think somebody wanted to sit on their 10-year beer. And they're like, listen, man, these beers were meant to be enjoyed. And it's something we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Except for the Goose thing, because they says on the bottle for their forever, it says develops up to five years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Crowley or even the Rev guys, they'll tell you, I mean, these beers are ready to rock when they package them is when they were meant to be.
Yeah, consumed. Drink them. If you forget about them and you have them in a year or later, that's cool. But have some now. Like, don't just buy to save.
Yeah. One more note about that Rev call. They actually... Remember when we had Maple Death on draft? You were there that night, right? Maple Death. And this was the Death Star party from last year.
I don't know.
Maple Death was on tap, and it was hella sweet.
Right? Okay.
Now, the Maple Death now, clearly, it's not as sweet because, you know, the gravity, right? Oh, but they were saying how, you know, they learned from this because they learned from Blue Jean in a barrel.
Okay.
Blue Jean was the first time they introduced just a straight-up sweet liquid adjunct. They added blueberry juice, right? So if you put blueberry juice unfermented in a barrel, it just turns into sugar.
Okay.
There's no juice quality. So you have to, with this Maple Death thing, they had to go into it with a super dry, almost unattractive, undrinkable version of Death Star, right? Because that's what you need to add this maple so that the end product isn't too sweet. And then instead of putting it in all in the beginning, where it just kind of turns into sugar, you kind of 5 gallons every few months, and then you don't give it the full year aging, you give it 6 months of aging.
Science.
I mean, it was cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't. And when Marty talks about this shit, you know, you're just sitting there with your, like, you know, your head in your fucking hands, and you're just like, man, this is great.
Like, I shouldn't have drank this whole can before we started talking. I'm not following.
I love this talking. But it was cool to hear just about the process and, you know, the philosophy. That was cool.
All right, yeah. Benthic is kicking in here, feeling good.
That's fucking double, what is it, extra double?
Triple double, yeah.
That's worth the price of admission right there. That shit is fantastic.
I think we had one more. You mentioned that Bourbon County Stout. You got your winning, you won, so a chance to buy.
Man.
So you didn't buy Dark Lord.
A bit more of this Benthic. So, you know, Jewel, there's other stores coming out now, right? I think Beer on the Wall is doing a raffle, and so is Beer Temple, right? But in the beginning, it was Benny's and Jewel.
Yeah.
And I think Benny's is the one that responded. So there's two versions. There's the, what is it, the Classic? One's called the Classic, and the other one's called, like, the Chicago Original, whatever the fuck they're called. One of them has birthday and anniversary, and one of them does not.
Okay.
It's just the other ones. And then... The one with
so the two the best ones are not in this, like, there's like group the one you want and the one you're gonna get.
So the one I got was the Classic. It's $140 okay. For the Classic. So that's everything but two bottles OG and everything but birthday and anniversary.
That's
the
not,
other one is a whole enchilada.
It's not too. Oh, okay. So you get everything in the other one
for $170.
Okay.
I almost wanted to write Minis back.
He said, I just want the two.
And
I
was just, you know, just what's the whatever the middle bird emoji is, give him the bird. This is ridiculous. $140, it's like $26 a bottle, right? It's only six bottles.
That is kind of ridiculous. Like the markup, like, so they're really just marking up OG this year to kind of.
You walk away with two. Let's see. One, three. Eight.
OG, it's good.
Divided by six. Yeah, it's $23 a bottle.
That's not bad.
Maybe I'm just mad because
right. What was Benthic for two pack was
shit,
30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just pouting that I didn't get
the two great hits.
Yeah, I just want those.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So, but you got some coming, and you could always look for more too, as some of these other stores end up with them or other spots.
That's a fact.
Because, you know, places aren't going to know maybe the ranking of them as much as someone like Binny's would.
Yeah, somebody did pick Goose Island in the draft. I forget who.
They didn't win anything last year, right?
They put in, so, if, but if they put in that fucking Weller.
I don't know. Like I said, people know what Bourbon County Stout tastes like. I feel like Steve Hamburg mentioned this to us at some point. He's like, you almost don't pick Goose Island. It might be the best one, but you know that's Goose Island, Bourbon County. So you can't even think of it as its own thing.
What if it's good, though?
It almost loses because it's so good.
Zoller picked a crew called Well Spent. I think that was his out-of-town pick. Hmm. You ever heard of his crew? That's the only reason I brought it up.
No. Where are they from?
They're in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I've never a day in my life heard of this crew.
No.
I was the only one off the board like that I didn't know. So, just thought I'd bring it up.
Okay. All right. Anything else? We got it.
We touched it all. We touched Alarmist. We touched Phobab. We touched...
There's like a lot happening, and it's really hard to keep track of.
We talked about the Rev Call. We talked about...
some Solemnoth.
Solemnoth, right? Oh, Demon's Tap.
Oh, yeah.
Demon's Tap is...
Across the street from Kuma's.
Across the street from Kuma's. It looks like they're doing a Chris Kendall Mark pop-up. So the mugs from past years and a photo drop where you can take pics of the mugs.
Right, because they are not doing the market in the... Was it usually Daily Plaza?
Yeah.
So they're not doing that this year. So Demon Tap said they're going to pick it up.
Yeah. And Sweetwater sold. We didn't talk about Sweetwater.
Oh, yeah.
Who'd they sell to?
They sold to I think it's a Canadian cannabis company, which is very fitting.
You know, I like Sweetwater, man. I remember their launch back in, you know, like 2012 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were at the Grateful Dead show.
Yeah.
They had they had the biggest presence at the Grateful Dead show, surprise, in the lot.
The only company that I would maybe rival on the Grateful Dead thing would be the Terrapin, because they got, you know, the turtle. Isn't that a Grateful Dead thing?
The bears.
I thought they have, like, there's a Grateful Dead turtle thing, too. Or maybe it's another one of the jam bands, Terrapin's turtle thing.
And Terrapin's down there in Georgia, too.
Yeah.
Like, just like these boys. Apparently, they did 100,000 barrels last year, and they're sold for 300 mil. The cannabis companies in Ontario, Canada.
Yeah. And Sweetwater has, you know, beers named, like, Strain X. 26, I don't know. They have a lot of weed-named beers, so that feels very fitting and very almost hilarious at the same time.
They talked about their process and how they were just kind of emulating, like they were using hot powders to kind of emulate the aromatics of cannabis and those strain beers. Yeah, they make good stuff. Good for them. They were like, we're done. Take it. We're fucking done.
Nice. All right. Let's get out of here then. It's a good roundup of all the news before we get too drunk on this benthic. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass. Lots of videos going up on the YouTube channel. I had a huge backlog. I still have more to go up there. So you're seeing random videos of us drinking something or another. And so we'll keep putting those up. Should be back with another episode soon. Take care.
Cheers.